Hey everybody, I'm Allene Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. I want to talk to you today about a subject I'm passionate about, and that is getting your self-respect back through complete surrender to God. Now, the reason why I'm passionate about this topic is for years I lived without boundaries in my life. Without boundaries, I could not tell people no. I felt guilty all the time. I people pleased all the time. And so because of that, if you can imagine a front yard that has, well, a nice little gates in front of it, but then imagine you take the gates down and people just trample all over your front lawn. That was my life. And for years, I blamed the people around me, but now I understand this powerful truth because, guys, there will always be people that disrespect you. There will always be people that take advantage of you. We live in a broken world with broken people, and people are not always going to treat you right. That's a consistency inside of our broken world. And if you are trying to, if you blame people, what I would say to you is, hey, I've been there. I have to keep watching myself on that. And I understand it. And the truth about it is if that person treated you wrong, if they disrespected a boundary that you have in your life, well, they shouldn't do that. That's the truth. But the bigger issue is this. You cannot control people. You can't. And so if you are blaming people all the time for their disrespect in your life, then it's not going to end. Because let's say a person has a change of heart and apologizes. Great. There's going to be somebody else that does that in your life. No, the answer is you taking ownership over the gates inside of your front yard. In other words, boundaries are there. They're a beautiful thing that guard your free will. Now, your free will is something that God gave you. It's a beautiful gift that He gave to you. And He gave that gift to you. Well, He wants you to give it back to Him. Now, God will never force you to do that because He's not a controller. He operates off of authentic love, which just never operates off of control. It gives free will and it always gives choice. But you have the freedom to choose. And when you don't set up boundaries in life, then you are not able to guard your free will to give it to God. And God is the only person on planet Earth that you should say yes to all the time. Now, let's get realistic because it's hard. We know that we want to guard our time. We know that we want to have balance in our life. We know that we want to live in the freedom that God intended. In order for us to have this freedom, we have to create the structure. And in order for us to have the structure, we have to be willing to set boundaries. And in order to set boundaries, you have to be willing to say no. And if you fear man over God, then that's going to be very hard for you. In fact, you will probably feel like me. For years, I felt extremely guilty about saying no. I didn't know how to speak up or I just felt like as a Christian, that meant being nice to everybody and that meant always helping and never saying no. And nothing could be further from the truth. Now, today we're going to go a little bit deep, and I want to take you to the root issue of that cause. Now, we would never be able to solve all of this in a podcast. And because of that, I've created a resource for you that shows you how complete surrender is the cure to all of this, and how when we fear man and we walk through a wounded situation, how it just wreaks havoc in our life. So I've created this resource, and inside of this resource, it shows you how this is the trickle-down effect. It gives you tons of scripture that you can use to renew your mind to. And what I want to do in the outset of this podcast is to give you the website link to this resource. It's www.herheartforhisglory.com. So, and I'm going to give it to you in the beginning and in the end, because I really, really want you to follow up with this. Now, this resource, I actually created it when I wrote this Dream Builder, which is the story of Joseph. And Joseph was abandoned by his family in a pit. You know, almost left to die. But they ended up selling him into slavery. Then he finds himself inside prison. And so over and over again, Joseph is facing trial after trial, abandonment, rejection, being talked about falsely. But it never prevented God's dream from being built in his life. And one thing that you see so clearly in his life is he did not fear man. And the Bible doesn't tell us this specifically, but I believe deep inside of me that it was in that experience of being abandoned by his family and thrown into Egypt, where he was away from everybody, that his faith in God was solidified. And when that happened, he feared God more than he feared man. And that's what created these courageous choices in his life to go against Potiphar's wife when she was trying to sexually control him. He stayed true to his God despite the culture he was in, despite his circumstances. And I believe that it was when he lost everything that he really found his faith in God. And sometimes that has to happen to us. We walk through a traumatic experience where everything is falling apart around us. But inside of that rubble, we find this ruby that as long as we have God, we have all that we need. You see, God did not call his children to live as victims of what other people say, or fearing, you know, that someone is going to be upset with you. He wants you to live in freedom. And this victory is yours when you surrender your heart completely to God. Now, I want to take you to a passage inside of John chapter 16. In John 13 through 17, Jesus is speaking some of his last words before he enters into walking through the experience of being ridiculed, beaten, and hung on the cross, and then finally to rise to victory in resurrection. But before this pivotal moment happens, there's a preceding moment where he's sitting at the table with his disciples eating the Passover, and he's sharing with them very precious truths, truths that they will need to hang on to in the moments to come, because Jesus knows that they're getting ready to experience rejection. Jesus knows that some of them will even be killed for their faith. And so because he knows that circumstances are getting ready to heat up, one thing that he tells them, and he says this in so many different ways, but the bottom line is this: you might be abandoned, but in that abandonment, don't abandon your faith, because you've got an advocate in the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus knew this truth about human nature. Oftentimes, when we experience abandonment from people, and not just any people, I mean, rejection from people that we're really not close to doesn't, you know, it might rattle us a little bit, it might ruffle our feathers, but it's when people that we're supposed to love us, people that we are supposed to be close to, our community, when we experience abandonment, rejection from them, that's when we become very vulnerable to the attacks from the enemy that will feed us lies and tell us that, well, is God really all powerful? I mean, look at all the trouble that you're facing. And when the enemy feeds us these lies about the Lord, in other words, when the disciples were getting ready to see Jesus on the cross and see all that was going to happen, would they believe the enemy that was saying, well, is God really all powerful? Did he really overcome the sin in the world, right? And inside of the broken world, the enemy is still using that scheme to try and separate you from standing under God's power. Because if he can, using circumstances, convince you that God is more powerful than people, then you'll put your faith in people and not in God. And you might be going to church, you may even be leading worship, but underneath, inside of your subconscious, there's a flawed belief that has been woven into the fabric of what you believe because of the wounds in the world that you've witnessed. And Jesus was warning his disciples, you're going to be wounded. In fact, you might even see some of your friends die. But don't abandon your faith. In John chapter 16, he says this, I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith, for you will be expelled from the synagogues, and a time is coming when those who kill you will think that they're doing a holy service to God. So he's warning them. And I read this this commentary from a Messianic Jew, and he was talking about the role of a synagogue back inside of biblical times. And it was more than for reading the Torah and learning about the Torah. It was almost like a community center. And so essentially, Jesus was saying, if you're going to follow me, you're going to experience rejection. And not only that, you might even see some people that you're walking with become killed. And see, Jesus was telling them this because he didn't want them to abandon their faith. Because when that comes in, when this happens in our life, and it happens, you know, we are not in the same situation the disciples were in. And certainly there are Christians now that are persecuted. But there is not a week that doesn't go by with Treasure Ministries that I don't have a conversation with a woman who has experienced abandonment, rejection. And when that wound comes from somebody that was supposed to love you, whether it was from a parent or a husband, or maybe it was even with your church family, that wound goes deep. And when the wound goes deep, our minds race and race and race and race to try to rationalize it. And all the while, you have the enemy, who the enemy is the one that is the behind all the sin and the devastation in the world. And then he whispers in your ear and says, is God really all that powerful? Is he really all that loving? Because look at everything that has happened. And so when we walk through a situation like this, and when our minds try to rationalize it, sometimes we believe lies from the enemy about God and about people. And we falsely believe that God really isn't all powerful. And I can't really surrender my whole heart to him, so I kind of need to stay in control. Or people really do carry power, and I must fear them more than I fear God. And when we live our lives this way, when we believe that people are our source, we come under their control. We come under their power. And when people try to control us, it can be an aggressive, assertive way, but it could also be very slight, subtle, almost under the radar, and very manipulative. In fact, if we grew up, because there's no other relationship where we really should be cared for than in the parental relationship. God's design for that was so that you and I could look back and see a reflection of God, see how a father, a heavenly father is. And the truth is, though, is that there are no perfect parents. We live in a fractured world. And some of us grew up in control-based parenting relationships. And that's not really love. And it could have been subtle. It could have been that your parents controlled you through guilt and manipulation, or making you feel, just throwing shameful words out. And so, you know, you never felt good enough. But what happens is that those control-based parent relationships can weave fear of man into our subconscious. And this ends up robbing us of our self-respect in our adult life as we put our faith in people and not God. Proper parenting allows choices to be made, not controlling people's thoughts, people's emotions, all of those sorts of things. Ultimately, because the parent knows and wants the child to put their faith in God. But when we're not parented that way, when we're in a, when we live inside of responding to guilt and shame all the time, then we believe that people have power, and it becomes, and we're just so conditioned to it, it becomes hard for us to say no. When we come under the control of anybody, and we do this even in subtle ways, what if we see people as our source for our worth and value? And so we seek to please people, and in the seeking to pleasing people, we come under their control. Because you can't disappoint them, right? And when we come under human control, we lose our free will. Whenever you see a person as your source for your worth and value, your source for your happiness, you come under their control. And that's not the way that you were created to live. You were created to live free, live in free will, and to give that free will over to God. In fact, God is the only person that we should always say yes to. And so when we believe that people are our source, we end up giving control over to that person. When we think that they have something that we need to survive, we will seek their dependency. And we will either come under their control or we will try to control them. For example, we may try to always be the rescuer because then that person can be dependent upon us. At any rate, when this happens, when we are used to this controlling situation, we allow the control to continue. We're comfortable with it. It's what we've grown up with. It's what we know. It's what we do. And so we allow people to do damage to our worth and value. And in not setting boundaries, we enable negative behaviors around us to control us. And in doing so, we forfeit our free will. And when we forfeit our free will, we forfeit complete surrender to God. And we miss out on becoming who God created us to be. So what's the solution? Now, the first thing I want to say before we talk about the solution, because to me, the solution is surrender. And, you know, when people talk about surrender, like you go to a women's conference, people talk about surrender. It's like, what does that mean? What it means, because God doesn't want you to surrender a person or a thing. He wants you. He wants you to stop people pleasing and live to please Him. He wants you not to come under the world's standards and instead just seek to follow Him. He wants you. And for complete surrender to happen, we have to repeatedly rise up against the lies the enemy has told us about who we are, and who people are, and who God really is. We have to rise up. And if you don't take anything away from this podcast, take away this. This is a repeated practice that we must do for the rest of our lives. Rising up, taking those thoughts captive, and surrendering them to God. Inside of that, John chapter 16, so when Jesus, you know, tells them that they're going to be facing all this trouble, and he says, I'm telling you this so that you won't abandon your faith, then he explains to them, he brings up the ministry of the Holy Spirit again. He says, when I go away, the Holy Spirit is going to come, and when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. It also says about this, that we are to live asking and praying in Jesus' name. And then he goes on to talk about the fact that all the suffering in the world, that we will experience joy and peace despite all of that because of our relationship with the Father, because of our connection with them. In other words, our security is no longer based off of the circumstances around us, because it rests in the Christ that is in us through the Holy Spirit. So back to this whole idea about that this is going to need to be a repeated thing. At the very end of this passage, Jesus says, the disciples say, now we understand that you know everything, and there's no need to question you. From this, we believe that you came from God. And then Jesus replies and he says, do you finally believe? But the time is coming, and indeed here is now, when you will be scattered, and each one going his way, leaving me alone. And you got to love that, that God puts this in here, and that Jesus acknowledges that. Because to me, that says, you know, we, just because we are growing in our faith, does not mean that we will never have feelings of insecurity or doubt, right? I mean, you can have a rock star quiet time, and you can just, or walk out of church after a sermon and just be so built up in your faith. And then you might face that fear of man again. And it can be tempting to want to beat yourself up, like, why is this happening to me again? And the thing is that when you grow up programmed to believe that people are more powerful because you had in a controlling environment growing up, or when you walked through another traumatic experience and the enemy lied to you and said, well, I don't know if God is all powerful, because if he was, then why would this happen, right? And then from that, subconsciously, you believe that God isn't all powerful. When all of that happens, it's deeply programmed into your subconscious. You may not say it. You may still be going to church, having these rock star quiet times. But then when the rubber hits the road, you might fall back into that fear of man. And so the answer is, don't get defeated Don't beat yourself up. It's time to rise up and give God his rightful place. And this is something that you will do over and over and over again. See, here's what I think. I think the enemy loves to condemn us when we feel insecure, when we start to worry, when any of those things happen where our faith just gets rattled a little bit. But I think that we need to look inside of Joseph's life and understand that every time we experience a rejection or abandonment, that that is an avenue for us to build our faith stronger in God. Anytime we're faced with brokenness or abandonment, it can make us feel powerless, right? I mean, and I'm sure that that's what Jesus was talking about because, you know, everything was getting ready to break loose. And the disciples, you know, the Bible records, you know, Peter denied. I mean, you know, it was just like, okay, did we believe the right thing? Was this really right? Or, you know, and even John the Baptist, when he walked, was in prison, you know, he said, ask Jesus, is this right? Even Elijah, who was calling down fire, right? In 1 Kings 17 and 18, and just had that great big faith. In the next breath, because of one sentence from Jezebel, he cowered away. We never need to be at the place where we think we have it all together. We just need to understand that every day, every moment presents an opportunity for that complete heart surrender. And that God is not disappointed in you, ashamed in you, that he knows it's a natural reaction to abandonment, to abandon your faith. Now, I'm not saying like then you stop going to church and you stop doing Bible study, but you know, the enemy lies to us and we can make, you know, is God really all powerful, right? And so we need to recognize these opportunities when we feel like the world has walked out, that is just the right platform that we can rise up and build our faith stronger than it was before. I'm a firm believer in the fact that Joseph wouldn't have been the man that he was had he not walked through the trials that he did. And that's why inside of that book, Dream Builder, that I wrote, I created these two pages so that you could see how imperative it is to give God his rightful place in our life. When we do that, that is when the fear of man goes away. But it's not a one and done thing. It's a repeated process. All right. So the first thing is that we have to rise up and against the lies. And in each of these scenarios, these steps that I'm going to give you, you know, we're going to be talking about the advocate of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that he's our advocate. He's our help. And inside of John 16, it says that he will guide us into all truth. One thing that I love doing is when I am feeling insecure, or when feelings of shame start to create that shadow in my life, or when I am just feeling afraid, one of the things that I love to do is to just stop and just still my heart and say, Lord, speak to me what is true. What is the truth? What is your truth in this situation? And then take out a piece of paper and start to journal. Lord, what is your truth? Sometimes I think we're so focused in on the truth in our circumstances, like the disciple, like Jesus is being crucified, this is, you know, da-da-da-da, and all of that is true, but what is God's truth? God's truth was that he would triumph over death. What may be true about our circumstances, for example, if a person said something ugly about us and it hurt, that's true. But what is God's truth? God's truth says that we are valuable, says that we are his treasure, right? God's truth always triumphs, even the truth that we see, right, in our circumstances. And in John chapter 16, that's what he was saying, that you're going to experience sadness, but on the other side, there's going to be joy. And this joy is something that the world cannot take from you because it is your faith in God. It's about your faith in God. So it doesn't matter anymore what people say about you. You must rise up, and you must rise up over and over and over and over again. And if you grew up inside of a family where there was heavy parental control, you were just taught to be a robot, that you shouldn't, challenge, the things that were said or whatever. And we need to recognize lies from the enemy by appealing to the advocate and saying, "Speak to me, Lord, show me the truth." The next thing is that you want to realign your life to give God his rightful place. Now, when we walk through trauma, or when we have had a childhood that, was not a positive, sometimes what we will do, one of two things. When we believe that people are more powerful than God, a couple of things. We will either try to be in control all the time, trying to manage people around us, right? Or we will see other people as powerful and give them our allegiance because we believe that they're our source. It's only when we give God his rightful place that there's a trickle-down effect, and I'm not going to go into it. You will have to go to www.herheartforhisglory.com and print out those pages and spend some time just digesting it. But it's when we have a proper perspective of God that everything changes, because the problem is not with the people in your life, because there's always going to be peeps that make bad choices. We might make bad choices against other people. I mean, it's just the reality of living in a broken world. It doesn't mean that it was right. But when you give God's rightful place in your life, you will be able to make new courageous choices that do not take away from the self-respect that God wants you to maintain. Why? Because he wants you to surrender your free will completely to him. And that only happens when God is aligned in his rightful place. Number three, rise up, realign your life to God. Number three, release people as your source. Release people as your source. When you see people as your source for love, for acceptance, you will fear losing them. And when you fear losing people, you will try to control them. When you see people as your soul source, you will naturally come under their control. And that is not what God wants. And again, this is a heavy topic. It almost seems like I can't, like this should be like 10 podcasts altogether so I can break down each one of these truths. But all I'm going to say is go to that www.herheartforhisglory.com. Print out those pages that were given in inside of Dream Builder and walk through that process and see how it all plays out. The next thing that you want to do is you want to request God's power. So rise up, realign your life, release people, and then request God's power. Now, in John chapter 16, Jesus tells them to pray in his name. Do you want to know what? He says in John chapter 14 to pray in his name. In John chapter 15, again, we see him saying to pray in his name. And here again, he's encouraging his disciples to pray. I will never forget being inside my Nourish Together group. If you all listen to the Treasure Ministries podcast, you're going to be like, I've heard this story before. In fact, I think I talked about it last week. But there was a woman who spoke up and she said, you know, I will pray big and bold for everybody else, but not for me. And the bottom line is, when we pray in our names, we won't feel worthy to ask. When we pray based off our ability, we won't pray big and bold. We won't feel good enough. But when we pray in Jesus' name, when we pray based off of who He is, everything changes. I want to read this. And again, I read this in the last podcast, but I think it's definitely worth reading again. And this is from the Jewish Gospel of John, written by Eli, and I cannot pronounce his last name, but I'll try, Lazorkin Eisenberg. And I'm going to spell this in case you want to look up the book, but it's Lizorkin-Eisenberg. Great, deep book. Really good. He's a Messianic Jew. Very powerful book. Listen to what he says. The name of Jesus means much more than we usually ascribe to it. The name Jesus, Yahshua, means He saves, is a powerful symbol of the combined essence of all that Israel's anointed king is. What He says and what He does, to ask something in the name of Jesus is to ask because of who He is, of what He says, and of what He does. There is indeed power in His name, and we must seek no other. When you begin to pray big and bold and pray that way in Jesus' name, that will also take away the power from people, because you will begin to see God as your source, and your faith will not need to be placed in people, but in your Lord and Savior. And see, when we place our faith in people, we end up fearing people because we fear rejection. We fear that we're going to lose them. And when you fear people, you cannot love them. You cannot love them. And you know, sometimes love is saying no. Sometimes love is setting up boundaries and saying that's not okay, because love never enables abuse, right? The last thing is, the last R is that you must realize who the real enemy is, that there is an enemy of your soul, and he wants to take all the catastrophe and the trouble in the world and basically to use it to capitalize on it, to communicate to you that God's really not that good, right? So if you can't trust in God, maybe you should just trust in yourself and try to control everything. Or maybe you should just trust in people and surrender to them. Don't believe him. Don't believe him for one second. And again, to walk through this process step by step, go to www.herheartforhisglory.com. And not only when we seek the advocate and we ask for his advice and we listen to his voice, we need to take action steps to that. A lot of times in the Treasure Ministries podcast, you'll hear me talking about changing your thinking. I'm now seeing more than I ever have before that to change faith really means that my actions change, because faith and action walk hand in hand. And it's almost like the thought is where it starts, but the action, the follow-through, completes the process. And that there are pathways in our thinking that were ingrained to us starting when we were little children. I've heard it talk about the family that we grew up in. We marinated in that. And we marinated in it. Sometimes it wasn't even things that were said to us. It was just the actions that were displayed before us that maybe communicated things to us like, we're not good enough, or those people are better, or whatever it was. And so when we begin to walk in God's truth, we must take that Holy Spirit revelation and apply some application, because only then will we see true impact. And part of this is giving God that place of respect that He's the only one that we should fear. And in doing so, it begins to transform our relationships so that we can create those healthy boundaries to remain steadfast in our faith, and most importantly, to guard our free will so that we can give it fully back to God. In closing today, I want to invite you two things. Number one, go to www.herheartforhisglory.com, download that PDF, print it off, and spend some time in your quiet time reading it over, going over the scriptures, using this to renew your mind, and just see what you come up with. And I'd love to hear your thoughts. So communicate back to me on that. You can send me an email at eileen@treasuredministries.com. And number two, that PDF came from the Bible study called Dream Builder. Inside of Dream Builder is, I love the story of Joseph for two reasons. It really goes into how God can transform our lives and how much we can trust and depend on Him. And by walking through Joseph's story, we see that redemption. But also, inside of Dream Builder, if you struggle with fear of man, if you're afraid to tell people no, if you are a people pleaser, I address that issue head on with lots of scripture. And so I want to invite you to order that study. If you want to try it out first, what you can always do is go to www.nourishbiblestudyseries.com and download that first chapter to see if this is something that maybe you want to dive into. There's also a free corresponding video series, and inside of the video series, we talk a lot about the fear of man. So get your hands on those resources so that you will be able to rise up, realign your life to give God His rightful place, release people as your source, and then ask God through the power of prayer. And finally, inside of that, make one choice to take application to that Holy Spirit revelation to create new pathways of thinking that will empower you to train your fear of people for the love of people. Thanks so much for listening in today, everybody. As always, it's a joy to come to you, and I look forward to our next podcast next week. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.